My name is JK. I'm the operations manager at Steakfish. Thank you. Steakfish is a validator for different pre-OS blockchains and node operators for projects that use staking mechanisms. I'll get into that a bit later, but you know, we're all excited for Ethereum 2.0. POS is going to be enabled, but you know, there have been plenty of other POS protocols that have been in operations for a year or even or slightly less than that, and there are already good data points to take from there. And having been in this space for about a year now, and a bit over a year, there's plenty of lessons that we've learned throughout the way our operations, and we wanted to share a few of those with you today, in the hopes that once Ethereum 2.0 launches, we don't have similar problems we've seen in other POS protocols. So, just a very short introduction about Steakfish. Steakfish was founded by Wang Chun, who co-founded F2Pool, which is one of the, of course, largest Bitcoin and Ethereum mining pools. And you know, he wanted to contribute something similar in the proof of stake space, and of course, naturally, that meant creating validators and staking pools. And so far, we have validators or nodes on various projects. We have EOS, we are a validator on EOS, Cosmos, Tezos, Loom Network, Iris Network, Boss. A node operator for Chainlink, Algorand, and a storage node provider for storage as well. And so right now, roughly, we're facilitating around $30 million in stakeable assets. first of all, just a quick reality check. I know that everyone will be able to run an Ethereum 2.0 validator node as long as you have 32 ETH, but the reality is not everyone will be able to. You know, either you don't have the equipment, we can't assume that everyone will have a PC at their home or even a laptop, and we can't assume everyone will have the technological capabilities of, you know, parsing through GitHub or even using command lines to actually run a validator node. And so that's where I believe validators come in. We're trying to help lower the barriers to staking even further by making staking easy for retail. And so there are two main service offerings that validators offer so far. One is validator as a service. This is where we run a validator and people delegate their coins to us. Delegate is where people don't give up their ownership, but rather they provide the power of the coins to a validator. So it's a pretty special type of transaction. And so therefore, we're able to run a validator, but we don't have custody over the coins that are staked with us. Also, there's a fair amount of validators that run a node as a service. This is where, imagine like AWS, right? You're trying to spin up a node, validator node for any customer that wants to stake. There are, I think, in the US, there are two big players in this space. There's Blockdaemon and Bison Trails. Largely node as a service, you could really imagine it to look similar to just an AWS. With E2.0, there's no such thing as delegation. I mean, you're not going to be able to delegate your coins. So unless you have custody of the funds, validators as a service is probably not going to be a viable business for validators. So I won't go too much into detail because of time constraints over what validators are considering on what other businesses that could be provided. But you know, rest assured that node as a service will probably be one of the more strong business lines that validators will pursue for ETH 2.0. But of course, personally, there's other avenues that are exciting, such as I'm giving a shout out to Rocket Pool, of course, which I'm really looking forward to for ETH 2.0. The validators are losing probably like one of their main business lines, and node as a service seems to be one of the more viable options. But like, why are validators then here at all in this space? Right now, there's around about $5 billion of stakeable assets in the market. So it's a fair amount. And I estimated roughly that in a year or so, there's going to be this number is going to balloon to $30 billion. And of course, Ethereum 2.0 is going to be the majority of that with $8 billion. Not to say that this is the exact like revenue opportunity, but this is the size of the market. And so therefore, there's a reason why the validators are here. They want to either facilitate something here, they want to do something here, they want to help facilitate staking of $8 billion when ETH 2.0 launches. And so that's sort of a short intro on like who validators are, how they're trying to, they're approaching ETH 2.0. But let's go into like the reason why I'm here today to talk about some of the lessons, the key lessons we've learned by validating on other POS protocols. And I've really summarized it down to five. There are far many, but these are the five key ones that I believe the Ethereum community needs to focus on. So I don't know if any of you were at the first speaker session for today. Adam from LiveFear actually gave a pretty good presentation on the one of the key bottlenecks of staking right now, and it's the user interface. Right now, staking is insanely hard, even on even for like a network like Tezos, for example. It's very difficult to understand like where I need to go if I have Tezzy's in my ledger. Is there an interface I could use to stake? It's very hard to find that. I recommend you trying to Google it. You'll come up with very different explanations on where you could go. It's not really clear. On Cosmos, similarly, so when Cosmos launched, there was only one mobile wallet available and one web wallet available. And obviously, people were confused whether that was the only ones they could use. But the most safe one was actually using the command line. And so people, some of the validators started telling people to use the command line. And obviously, as I mentioned when I first began this talk, we can't expect everyone to understand how to use the command line. So therefore, there was a lot of confusion. So it's important that some form of staking interfaces or multiple staking interfaces are available when the E2.0 launches. If not, it's going to cause a lot of confusion, and you're just basically limiting the opportunity to stake to a limited set of people, of community members. Now, another important part is making staking trackable. Of course, you want it for bookkeeping. You want to see how much income you have, how much you have stake. But more importantly, there are tax reasons for this. There's a lot of regulatory unclarity on how staking should be considered tax-wise, but eventually, people will need to pay their taxes on most likely on staking rewards, and the only way they'll be able to do that is if they're able to track how much rewards they've been receiving, how much assets they've been staking so far. There aren't that many of such dashboards. Many of them are launching right now, but this is another key tool that needs to be provided when ETH 2.0 becomes available. So number one key theme here is try to make interfaces for users for retail such that they're able to stake easily and also track how their staked assets easily. Number two is slashing has occurred. On Cosmos, especially recently, not recently, I guess in July, one of the validators their validator was down for a while, and then they tried to bring it back up, and accidentally their backup node and their main validator node came back up at the same time, causing a double signing. So as a validator, when I talk with retail or other funds, the number one question they always ask us is, how are you going to ensure me that, how are you going to ensure me in terms of slashing risk? It's all in their minds. But with this double signing event, it's becoming much more, this risk is becoming bigger in their minds. And it's become a key theme that they constantly ask for insurance or some way that, some off-chain contract we could sign such that they're able to then somehow recoup the slashed amount. Therefore, this is definitely another pain point, and there needs to be some method to let people hedge their slashing risk. And most likely, I believe this will come in the form of DeFi in terms of like insurance markets, most likely. These sort of DeFi products need to be thought of in advance and created, not after ETH 2.0 has launched, really. Also, another thing is another way of actually reducing slashing risk is by diversifying who you stake to. For example, if I'm trying to stake on Cosmos, rather than staking with one validator, it's better to spread out your risk and just similar to how you would diversify your portfolio. This concept is sort of not really being considered too much We see way too many just all-in staking going on in various protocols. So, but the probably the main reason why that's occurring is because it's very inconvenient to diversify your stake when you're staking. So providing an automated option or service such that people could automatically diversify the validators that they're using is also a pretty important method of hedging their slashing risk, and probably a very important product that will be needed close to when ETH 2.0 launches. Another key thing that we've seen constantly come up in other POS protocols is centralization debate. So on the left here, you could see sort of the graph of stake power, basically distribution. This is in Cosmos, by the way. So for Ethereum, there's no delegation, so you won't see this stark of a distribution graph. But you know, in ETH 2.0, how this is relevant is in two ways. So exchanges definitely will have so much in their custody, so they're going to be big players. So there will be some debate over their role in the staking economy in the ETH 2.0. But second of all, remember I said that validators will probably enter into ETH 2.0 as node as a service? Well, imagine if any of these node as a service providers become big, like they control like 50-60% of the market. Imagine that they find a very critical bug in their infrastructure. What that means is then every single user staking using their node as a service are probably likely going to be compromised. So it's another point of failure in that case. So that's also somewhat like not going to be as forefront as seeing an exchange gain like 5-6% of a network's power. But this is also going to be a very crucial centralization failure point that will need to be vigilant about. So I actually took this out. I've put it as a separate point because this is very crucial. So exchanges are finally entering staking. You know, I'm quite sure many of you have seen how Binance announced that they're providing staking operations. The reason why staking is so exchanges are entering to staking is crucial is because they're able to provide instant liquidity and they actually bypass any unbonding periods. And imagine that, like if you're trying to stake on ETH 2.0 and you don't need to lock up your ETH, you just keep it on an exchange wallet and you instantly get ETH dropped to your wallet. Like how convenient is that? And so therefore, this is a really problematic, especially for independent validators like us, because we're not really able to compete with these exchanges that are able to bypass these liquidity issues. Oh yeah, and there's 3 points on how exchanges are entering. Please come up to me if you want to understand more about how exchanges are entering right now. As I mentioned, the important part about tackling this is that independent validators like us need to be able to compete with these guys. And the only way we could do that is if there's a way where we could offer people who delegate to us, who stake with us, have similar liquidity, liquidity when they're staking. And so therefore I see staking derivatives, again, DeFi, playing a key role here. There are a few players right now trying to tackle this. Once staking derivatives are live, that will then help us validators actually compete with exchanges. And that's key here. I think that's how I don't expect validators to be treated more favorably compared to exchanges, but at the very least, we could level the playing field by providing staking derivatives. This is just one way of sort of tackling the exchange centralization issue regarding staking, but I welcome anyone to think of any alternatives to try to see where we could compete better with exchanges when it comes to staking. So finally, this is a topic that no one likes to talk about, but that we seriously need to, there needs to be a working group around this. It's regulation and taxation. Proof of work mining has been around, so there has been some framework constructed around how mining and mining rewards should be considered. But You know, we can't assume that proof of stake, staking and staking rewards will be considered the same way. Like as an example, like let's say proof of stake, staking rewards will eventually be taxed. Will it be taxed once I get the staking rewards in my wallet? Or will it be taxed once I liquidate it into like another coin? Like these are questions that are still up in the air and no one knows the answers to. So there is a POS alliance, proof of stake alliance that has been created with a few key players in the staking world. I also do encourage the Ethereum community to think about how we could engage policymakers and regulators around how staking should be considered. Because if this stack is not figured out, like, you know, validators, stakers, everyone alike is going to be in a heap of regulatory issues. So I think it's important that we take a proactive approach and try to talk with policymakers on what they're thinking and how we can make it comfortable such that they make reasoned and logical decisions on how staking should be taxed, how staking should be regulated. So yeah, so those are sort of the five key lessons I wanted to share with you guys, and hopefully that once ease 2.0 launches, we have some answers to. We might not have answers to all, but hopefully most of them. I love talking about staking. I'm happy to share any knowledge, insight on how we've operated so far. So please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter, on by email, or yeah. I think that's it. I guess I'll take questions if there are any.